name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. To share something very small with you regarding the gospel we just heard. Everyone is very, very familiar with the gospel, and even Abuna was sharing with us about it earlier. Maybe we can just go a little bit deeper to see how it maybe affects us or how it's related to us. Just as a summary, we see that the gospel today is focusing on the Lord is inside a house preaching the word of God, and the house is completely full, overfull. And you can see that in the scene here, we see that four men coming, and as we know, bringing the paralyzed man, bring him to Jesus by all means. At the end, we see Jesus saving him, helping him, and restoring him. So this is a great story. Most of our Lord's stories result in him saving or healing or helping in some way. What does this have to do with us? Does this story have anything to do with me? Let's see. The first thing I want us to look at is like these four men. The interesting thing is, the first thing that we notice about the four men is they actually saw a need around them. They saw someone in their life that was needy or needed some help. And I think the first thing that we can learn today is to look around us and to see what's the need around us every day. Sometimes in our life, we're walking with blinders. Go to work, come back home, go to school, come back home, eat, sleep, go. But the greatest thing about this story is that someone saw someone else who needed something. And I think the first thing we can learn today from this story is that look around you, right? Look around you in your life, right? Sometimes I even joke around with the members of the church in Zambia. Like, sometimes they come into the church, they pray, and they go home, and they never even looked around in the church. Like, take a second now, look around. Look around, turn your heads. Look around, people. Can you see who's around you? Now turn around, it's okay. No one's gonna make fun of you. Look around, who's here today? Look around, okay? Exactly what you just did now is exactly what we need to do every day of our life. Look around, hey, okay, someone there, he needs something, someone there. Most times, we're just like walking into our works, sit down, do our work, go home, never see anything around us. We never look left, we never look right, we're just almost programmed. But you can see here today that the first thing we can really learn is that these four people, they looked left, they looked right, and they saw someone. They saw a need. And I really think that's the first thing we need to learn from this story today is look around you and see the need that's around you. The second thing we can learn from today is how the attitude of these four people. What was their attitude? Give me, like, who can say what's their attitude? What's their spirit like, these four people? Can't hear you.
They were cheerful.
They were cheerful. What else?
Faithful,
loving. What else?
Compassionate.
I heard something here, was the one I'm looking for.
Determined.
I like that. First of all, they saw someone who is paralyzed. They saw someone in need. And when they saw them, did they say, forget that. That's too much problem for me. Let someone else to do that. Okay? What they were determined, and I like another word, they were desperate to help this person. I want us to learn this attitude of desperation. I'm desperate to help someone around me. The first thing is, see the need. Look around. I see a need, and there's a person who needs something in my life. Second thing is, be desperate and determined to help that person. It's interesting, last year at this time, I was in Zambia during this gospel. And the most amazing or strange or funny thing happened. In Zambia we live, the church is right next to the hospital. So So this gospel was read last year, and as soon as we went outside after the church, guess what happened? It wasn't a paralyzed person, but it was a person that was all of a sudden rushed to the hospital, and all of the priests and deacons and the members were walking out, and the person was rushed to the hospital, and they were in the car, and they couldn't get the person out of the car into the hospital. So first deacon went, tried to help out, couldn't do it. Second deacon went, couldn't do it. Another member of the church came, was lifting up the person, trying to carry them quickly to the hospital, couldn't do it. Everyone came, even I came. I came and I was trying to lift up the person, and I wish I had a good story here that I would carry the person into the hospital. No one could carry this. So all of us together, like, finally it took like 6 or 7 of us, and like we were like almost in tears, crying and desperate and determined to get that person into the hospital. And finally we got that person in. And I was thinking to myself, how amazing is it that God allowed that to happen that day? You know how hard it is for those 4 men in the gospel to take that paralyzed man to Jesus? It's very hard. If you don't believe me, try it yourself. Try to carry someone. Try to carry one person on your back from here to there. By the time you get halfway, you're like, my back, my knees, my leg, I can't do it. And you put them down, you leave them there. And even myself, God let me see firsthand last year, it's really, really hard to help someone. It's hard to help people. You have to be determined, and you have to be desperate to help them. You have to be like agonizing to help them. And today you see 4 people who first, they saw the need, and second, they were desperate or determined to help. And I think if we make it past step 1, most times we can't get through step 2. If someone around us, we find out that they need something, most times we can't get past step 2, which is, no matter what happens, I'm going to help that person. No matter how hard or uncomfortable, or I don't have the time, I'm going to help the person around me. And this is the attitude we need. These 4 people are teaching us how to have a good attitude. Attitude of determination, desperation to help someone around us. And most times when people have a problem, it takes too much time to help them. It takes too much effort. We don't want to do it, so we turn the other way. But today we can learn how to be desperate and determined to help the people around us. The third thing that we can learn is to work together in unity. Let me ask you a question. There was 4 people today working together. What if one of them said, sorry, it's time for lunch, I gotta go halfway through? Do you think the other 3 could have made it? Can 3 make it? I don't think so. I think it was designed for the 4 to work together. Another thing we can learn from the gospel today is we need to work together. We need each other. We need each other to serve God. We need each other to help my family. We need each other to help my friend. We need each other to help people who are not here. We need each other. There has to be a unity in this place. Do me a favor. No matter what happens in this church, as it grows, no matter how big this church gets, or how many people start to get responsibility, no matter how, whatever, never, ever, ever lose the unity between each other. This is the only way that they saved a person who was sick, who was lost, who was hurting. Only way is because they worked together in unity. So if you want to save people around you, and you want to help people around you, and you, as a mission church, to bring more people to the church, there has to be a united spirit. A united spirit among all of us. So that's number 3. What was number 1? Just want to see if you're paying attention today. What was number one? They turned around, looked around, they saw the need. What was number two? They have to be determined and desperate to save someone. Like if I have to help someone and it's too hard, leave, that's not the right attitude. We need to have a different attitude. We need to be like desperate for them. What was number three? Unity. Working together. Helping each other to help someone else. Example, in the liturgy, can Abuna do the liturgy by himself? Can he do it? Can he do it with just the deacons? Most times people think, oh, Abuna and the deacons, they can do the liturgy, they're united together. No, you're important, Abuna's important, and the deacon's important. This is a model of unity in the worship today, how we're working together. Abuna says something and you respond, right? What if Abuna said, peace be with you, and you didn't say anything back? It's like something strange. It's unity together. Okay? Always, this is life. Always united, working together for a common goal. And these four people today had a common goal. To help someone who needed help. And that's the same mission you have in this church. To find the people around you in need. To have an attitude and determination to be desperate to help them. And to be united to work together to save them. So far, so good. What's the next thing? Interesting enough, when the four people came to the door, we know the story. They couldn't get in the door. They went to the back door. What happened in the back door? This is not in the story, but I'm just kind of like, you know, looking through it. They went to the back door. What happened? Back door was closed. They tried to go through the window. Window was closed. So what did they do? They went through the roof. You know what this tells me? That these four people were creative. These four people were creative on how to help their friend. And I want to tell you something. The fourth thing that we can learn from this story is how to be creative in helping people. Every one of us knows that if we made it to the front door and it was locked and it was full, we would say, okay, I tried to preach the Bible today to the person at work and he didn't listen to me. So I'm not going to do that again. Thank you. And then that's it. I tried to save and help someone today at school. I tried to talk about Christ. It didn't work. So I'm not going to do it again. Thank you. That's the front door. What's the roof? That's being creative, thinking of creative ways to reach out to people. Don't accept rejection. Think of a different way to reach someone who is lost, who is away. Be creative. These four people today are teaching us how to be creative. You know who's very creative? Who's very creative? There's two people who are very creative. Who are they? God? But there's somebody else who's very creative too. What's his name? The devil. You know who's very creative? Is the devil. You know how he's creative? Think about 10 years ago, and think about today, and think about all the new ways in the last 10 years he found a way to make us sin. Isn't the devil creative? The last 10 years, he came up with new ways to make us to fall. Every year, he's so creative, and reaching out to us and his mission. The devil is very creative in his mission. So, and Jesus, of course, is very creative in his mission. So why are we so not creative? Why are we so boring when it comes to finding ways to reach someone who is away? We have to be praying and thinking of how to be creative to reach someone who is lost, who is away. Every one of us has family members or friends or coworkers or schoolmates that just are not here, who don't like Jesus. We have to be creative in reaching them. If the devil is creative in reaching you and reaching your friends and your family, we must be creative in also winning them back. We can learn a lot from these guys today, these four men. Would you ever think of the idea to go through the roof? Where'd they get that idea? They must have been praying and praying and said, let's be creative. let's go through the roof. So we can learn these things today. Now, the greatest thing here is, once they saw the need, step one, once they were desperate to help, step two, once they were working in unity, step three, and once they became creative, step four, they took the sick man, the paralyzed man, to Jesus. They made it to Jesus. Now it's God's turn. Last night we were talking a little bit about this. Now it's Jesus' turn. The four people made it through these four things, and then finally the fifth thing is God healed, God saved, God blessed, God changed the hearts, God forgave, God did his part. But the first four parts, it's not God's part, it's our part. The last part is God's part, how he did all these healings and helped all these people. God's part is fixing. God's part is forgiving. Our part is to be a good friend and to bring the people around us. As you know, maybe many of you have been feeling empty or lost or away, and someone brought you back to Jesus, and now you feel, like we said last night, we were discussing the Gospel of the Vespers yesterday, and we feel like satisfied, full, filled. And someone else out there also is empty and in need and needs to be satisfied, needs to be complete, needs to be full. Let me read a verse here. If you have your Bibles, we can turn to Philippians. We're going to just share a couple verses and we'll conclude. I'm not going to take too much of your time. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, we can turn together. Look what Jesus does. Today he heals this paralyzed man. But let's read Philippians 4 verse 19. I'll read, you can follow along. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me repeat the verse. This is Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus' part is to take care of all our needs because he has his richness and glory to give us, to satisfy all our needs. So, what can we learn today? Look around you, see the need, bring that person to our Lord. Be desperate, be determined to bring that person to our Lord. Third thing is work together. You need each other to save someone. Fourth, be creative. Don't try the normal things that don't work. Don't try those same things again that don't work. Be creative. And when you bring someone to Christ, what happens every single time? Christ takes care of their need. Christ changes their heart. Christ transforms the people, right? So let Christ do his job. Let me ask you a question. Is there a need around us? Let me ask this question. Is there a need around us to help someone? Is there a need? Okay. We agree, yes? Is there a need? Okay, just making sure. I didn't know if that was true or not. So if, you know, actually, I heard this story of one priest. I'm not sure if it was a priest or a bishop. He was asking a congregation like this. He said, can you give me a list of names for the people that are outside, that are in need, so we can go and pray for them? So the priest wants like a list of the names. Okay, give me a list of names so I can pray for them. And one clever person, this is a few years ago, one clever person brought to him a book. And the priest said, what is this book? He said, this is the yellow pages of the people in the community. He said, here's a list of the names. And the priest was so happy. And it clicked. He said, yes, that's true. Every single person out there is in need. So there is a need. All right, it's very clear. that there's a need. You can just look at, I don't think we still use the yellow pages, but if you look in, like, you know, the internet and see all the list of people that are in your community, but there's a huge need. The other day I was reading Romans chapter 10. I think some Bibles just went around, so let's open really quickly to Romans. It just came up in one of the quiet time meditations, Romans chapter 10. So when I'm kind of like stressing the same point again, but I want you to know something here. We know that if we bring people to God, He'll do something great. But let's look at Romans chapter 10. As I was preparing for this gospel today, I was reading another meditation from Rome, or just reading the my quiet time for Romans chapter 10, verse 14. I'm sure you're familiar with this verse. Listen carefully. We're in Romans 10, if you have your Bibles there, verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Did you guys catch the sequence? Okay, he said, how can they call on Him who they... How then shall they call on Him who they have not believed? So they can't call on Jesus if they haven't believed in Him. And then it says, how can they believe in Him if they have not heard Him? Okay, next step, how can they hear without a preacher? Okay, that's next step. How can they preach unless they are sent? So you see the sequence. But let's look at it backwards. What is it backwards? Look at it in reverse. Right? In reverse is God is sending us to what? To preach or to reach. And as we do that, people will hear. If they hear, then they will believe. If they believe, they will call on Him. So that's in reverse. Let me say that again. God is saying go. He's sending us to share, to preach, to reach each other, those who are outside. If we do that, that means they will hear. If they hear, there's a chance of believing. If they believe, now they can call on Him. That's the reverse. So what's our part? What's the beginning? It's to go. The gospel of the morning today, Matthew 28, what was the word? It's go. Go. Go and do it. They will hear. They will believe. And they will call on Him. And God will heal. God will save. God will help. This is our mission. There's a huge need. I got this email the other day. And it said, because as I'm in Africa, they like to send statistics all the time about people in the world and the needs. You know how many people every day are starving from physical food? Physical food, starvation of physical food every day? How many people? They sent this statistic, and I think maybe it's even too low. Every single day, there's about 50,000 people in starvation. More people every day. 50,000 people every day are adding to this poverty of starvation. 50,000 new people every day are starving. And I was thinking of that statistic. And I was thinking, okay, what about spiritually? How many people every day are growing in like every day increasing in starvation spiritually? I said, much more. Wouldn't you agree, much more? Every single day, like I said, the devil is more creative and bringing people to spiritual starvation. So it's our job to take care of this need. It's our job to go. It's our job to share, to reach. Our job to be desperate. I must go and help them. It's our job to work together to help someone and to be creative in how we do it. And I can tell you, the most amazing thing will happen. Jesus will heal. Let's look back at the gospel to conclude. Let's conclude together. Let's go back to Mark chapter 2. Let's conclude together and we can continue the liturgy. Mark chapter 2 at the very end. Let's open up together if you have your Bible there. As you know, it says the Lord is healing this person. In verse 11, he says, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately, look at verse 12 now. It says, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." What did they say? What did the people say at the very end? "We never saw anything like this before." This is the most amazing thing that's happened. People were glorifying God. People were praising God for how great God did His miracle today. God will bring you joy and bring many people joy. And I can tell you something. If we do these things today, practically speaking, if we do these things today, people around us will be amazed at how great God is. People around us will be like, their jaws will be dropping. They'll be amazed on how wonderful and amazing God is. And when people see that, they'll come running to the house to be with Jesus. That's our mission. My brothers and my sisters, I'm so blessed to be with you today, but I want to encourage you to look around every day at the need to reach out all your heart for anyone who is around you in need, and be desperate and determined to help them, and work together and be creative, and God will heal and God will save. And I promise you, people, when they look at the situation, they're going to say, "Wow, I never saw anything like this before." And that's how God works. He does things that are beyond like what we can expect. Let's pray for that as a church. Let's pray for that individually. And let's pray for the community that's around us. Today, when we're in the Divine Liturgy, remember the gospel today. Remember your part in the gospel today. And remember what God will do. Let's bring forth to people now. The first step today is, let's bring people to God in prayer today. Let's do this practically. If you have paper and a pen, write down someone you're desperate to save on a piece of paper. Give it to the deacon. The deacon will put it here. And Abuna and myself will pray for them today. Let's not make the Divine Liturgy a normal Divine Liturgy. Christ is on the altar today or not? Jesus is on the altar today. Yes, He'll be on the altar today. Let's bring these people to Him by name. So if you have someone you want us to pray for, write their name down. Don't be shy. Bring it to the deacon. The deacon will bring it to us. And let's start the rest of the Divine Liturgy in prayer for those people around us who are away, who are in need. And if you don't write anybody's name down, that proves me one thing. What does it prove? If you don't have anybody's name down, it means one thing. You're not looking left, and you're not looking right. You're just going through your life. So I should see some papers up here today. If I don't see any papers, that means no one in this church is looking left and right. Okay? I put a challenge for you. Pray for me. Pray for Zambia. So we do the same thing. And we're praying for your mission here, to look around the need and to bring many sick people to God. And God will heal them. And glory be to God forever. Amen.